As you might have heard, I spent the final week of January on the island of Puerto Rico. I was immersed in both the classroom setting, learning Spanish, and the history of the island, both cultural as well as church history, as well as spending time among the island, taking in the uniqueness of the land. But it was the interactions with the Boricuas, the people of Puerto Rico, that my eyes were opened to both the hospitality and the resiliency of the people. Most of our time during the week was spent in the northeast of the island, but we did spend a day in the southwestern part, the area struck the hardest by the myriad earthquakes of late. It was here that the words of Jesus about salt and light were most poignant for me. The people, having been left to flounder by their local government, combined with the tortoise-like response of FEMA and Congress, they decided to act on their own, to help those in need, even if they themselves had been directly affected by the quakes that had rocked the island. We saw firsthand a small convent of nuns and two newly installed priests navigating the demands of the present crisis. It was both heartbreaking and awe-inspiring, all in the same breath. But as Jesus said, this is what salt does. This is what light is for. In our gospel reading for today, we hear once again those unforgettable words as Jesus calls the crowd of the Beatitudes the salt of the earth and the light of the world. These monikers can be seen as an extension of his words of blessing from the mount, with a dash of a commissioning mixed in for good measure. When Jesus calls the people salt, he is in fact accomplishing two things. First, he is telling those gathered around him, this crowd of the poor, the rejected, the oppressed, that they themselves are precious, that they have extreme value and worth. For in the ancient world, salt was one of the most sought after and most expensive commodities known to man. Jesus tells the crowd and tells us as well that we are essential, that we are treasured. What a life-altering proclamation this must have been for those who first heard those words emanate from Jesus' lips. What those words might do for us this day, for any of us who have ever thought ourselves less than worthy of God's love, or who have struggled with the idea that we don't need to do anything for our salvation, that God, this God, will call us salt, precious, treasured, loved. Secondly, Jesus is calling them to action. For salt by itself really isn't that useful. Unused salt will indeed lose its zest, and its wonderful abilities are left by the wayside. Salt is meant to be mixed with something else. It adds flavor, preserves, melts ice, important today, softens water and hastens a boil. It soothes a sore throat, rinses sinuses, eases swelling, and is even used to cleanse wounds. Salt isn't meant to cluster. It is meant to give of itself. Salt isn't meant to preserve itself. It exists to preserve what it is not. I don't believe that Jesus was using a metaphor when he called us salt. Jesus didn't say that we are like salt, or that we are supposed to be like salt, or even that we might one day become like salt. In calling us salt, I believe he was getting at the very core of what salt is and what salt does. When salt fulfills its purpose, the giving of itself, it dies. And since we are the salt of the earth, Jesus is calling us, as he always does, to die to ourselves, to die that we may live. That in dying we give life to the other. Luther was so keyed up on this particular theological point that he said it best when he declared that God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor sure does. The same can be said of light. You are the light of the world, Jesus proclaimed to the crowd. Again, Jesus is not mincing metaphors. When he says light, I believe he means light. Not like light, not become light, not supposed to be like light, but are light. And what is the purpose of light? But to illuminate, to shine, to burn. Light, like those warehouses in Puerto Rico full of supplies and bottled water, serve absolutely zero purpose when kept locked up or under a bushel basket, as our Lord said. Light, exactly like salt, is meant to give of itself, to shine unto others in order that others might see. Now, the most striking part of all of this salt and light business is not the provocative nature of the imagery alone, but that Jesus points to all of this as communal. Jesus isn't calling us to be lights alone in the darkness. Jesus isn't calling us to be piles of salt sitting on a counter somewhere. The you in Jesus' speech is the plural you, a you and I, a y'all kind of you. For Jesus knows how hard it is to be a single candle flickering in the wind. He understands that sometimes a kernel of salt just doesn't cut it. Jesus makes it clear that we are to do this work of dying to the self together as community. For in this community and in the greater world, if we all acted like what we are, salt and light, there would be enough for everyone. No one would be on the outside looking in. If I care for you and you care for the next person and on and on and so on and so forth, then no one would be left without someone who looked after them. Someone who put the needs of the other over and above their own wants. In this, we would truly see the ethic of Jesus embodied in this world in its vast fullness. But too many of us, and I'll place myself right at the front of this line, doubt that this can actually happen, that this is almost impossible. Perhaps we fear that if we give of ourselves, at some point we won't have anything left to give. A compassion fatigue of sorts. Or if I put myself out there to care for someone else, yet it's not reciprocated, who will care for me? Jesus seems to know this as well. Hence this command that y'all be salt and light together. He even modeled it for us by living in and doing ministry with the 12. Think about that. Even the ministry of our Lord and Savior was communal. And I witnessed this communal form of ministry being embodied in the work of the people of Puerto Rico, risking life and limb for one another. It was clear that this was the work of many hands, of many people, the y'all of Puerto Rico. This work of salt and light was evident in the efforts of SSL, or the Lutheran Social Services of Puerto Rico, who continue to work to repair what Maria had torn down, even in the face of dwindling finances and reduced staff. But my dear friends, this work of salt and light is not just some distant, exotic thing, far from our hands and our eyes. No, this type of dying and living for the other is present in this place, in this community. It is present in the giving of your time and treasure to feed students here at the university, hosting the Keep Food Pantry, in building houses with Habitat for Humanity, in the groups who have gone and will go to Appalachia to work on dilapidated houses of the locals, in transitional gifts, in serving meals with Savory Sunday or in other local soup kitchens or congregations working to feed those who are hungry, serving with or alongside the road home, and so many other wonderful nonprofits, too many to mention here. All this being salt and light in this community and in the greater world. For this is what Jesus had in mind. You are salt. Salt was not just meant to preserve, but to serve. You are light. And light was meant not just for self-illumination, but to share itself for all in the house. All this so that the world may know the work of the Spirit is at hand in all y'all and in all those who follow Christ. So in order that glory may be given to God through the simple as well as the awe-inspiring acts of salt and light. Amen. And thanks be to God.